Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
I love this music.
It's amazing how much you can get for free when you get those little musical blips. You get like 8 bars of music for nothing.
I'd assume we paid for that.
Well, no, they have all this free stuff. It used to be you had to pay. I paid like $1,000 for music, and I can't even find it. Well. But hi, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. It's my partner.
Hi, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're about to do a Periscope-y, video-y kind of thing that's kind of cool.
So this is the Sell or Die podcast, but we're also Periscoping.
That's right. So if you're listening to our podcast, then you should also follow us on Twitter so that you can join our Periscope.
So it's a video podcast. It's like a vodcast.
Yeah, it's a multimedia.
I think that's a thing.
Is it a vodcast?
I don't know. A vodcast?
Maybe. I don't know. It's like
Red Bull
like
with
a vlog?
Yeah, like a vlog, like an MTV VJ.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We got it.
Okay, so, but really, this is about making more sales. And I think that your job as a listener or as a viewer of this particular piece is to not screw it up. And to go out on a sales call and make more sales. You okay with this? Everything right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we're in the sound studio, and we're going to introduce our speaker, our guest podcastee today. His name is Jeff Bajorek with a B. And Be like boy. And Jen's going to tell you about Bajorek. He's a cool dude.
So Jeff is a former sales guy, now turned into an expert sales trainer. And he's just real. He's in the field. He knows what's going on in sales. He knows how to make sales. And now he's teaching people how to make sales.
We like him.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And he lives in like Detroit or something crazy.
He told me last night they had like a massive snowstorm there. Yeah. Usual.
There's a new thing out now. It's called Florida.
Miami.
Right, exactly. This is our first. We do this podcast. We do Sell or Die. We've decided to go Periscope. We're probably going to go Blab. And then we're going to, you know, you won't be able to see the podcast on iTunes, but you'll definitely be able to listen to it. I don't know. Do you download them or do you just listen?
Yeah, you can download them. You can have them downloaded automatically to your telephone or other mobile device.
Yeah, it's cool. I got an email recently that someone was listening to our Sell or Die show at the gym. So they had like downloaded it. And
so you used to be on the down low. Now you're on the down low.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So back to Jeff.
Yeah.
Bajorek.
Oh, yeah. Bajorek with a B. Right.
So his company is Parabola Consulting and his website is parabolasales.com.
Parabola, for those of you who forget geometry.
Who remembers geometry?
It's something mathematical.
Like mathematicians?
Right. It's like a postulate or an axiom or something. I don't remember. It's a right angle. I swear to God.
What?
I have no idea what it is. I have no idea.
That is like that squiggly line.
Oh, parabola?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like a graph thing?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, so just email me if you know what it is.
No, write in the comments.
Oh, yeah, write in the comments. Okay, cool. So anyway, Bajorek is cool. Because he was a salesperson and he evolved into sales training because he loved sales so much. But I think it's important to understand that there was a Rubicon River that he had to cross. And the river was, am I the right kind of person to get into sales? Am I going to be perceived as pushy? Is my mom going to say this is a good idea? What's going to happen to me when I stop doing what I'm doing right now, which I think was teaching, but I can't remember, and then going into being an actual salesperson? And once he started, he realized he loved it, and then he wanted to really be best at it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because a lot of people think that when you're in sales and being salesy, you're manipulating or you're being like a bad person to sell stuff to other people. And
what's your point?
The
there?
Best salespeople are the best helpers and the best people who serve others.
And the rest sell cars.
Right.
Did either of you go through that?
Oh, yeah.
That fear of
am I a salesperson or not?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
I think I always knew I was a salesperson.
I always had the gift of gab, but I never understood the science of selling. And I was one of the most interesting things, and we're going to talk about this after the show is over, but I want to make sure that you understand my comeuppance. I started with a group of guys, and we trained for 4 hours every morning for 1 year. And we sat around and
they had a lot of time.
Well, we didn't have a lot of time, but we had a lot of training. And it was all about Earl Nightingale, The Strangest Secret. It was all about Message to Garcia. It was all about the hot guy at the time was Zig Ziglar and a bunch of other people. And or J. Douglas Edwards on how to close a sale. But the fulcrum point was Napoleon Hill. Every day we read a chapter of Think and Grow Rich for 1 year and did a book report on it. Each guy did his own book report. And there's only 15 chapters in the book. So we went through the book about 10 times in 1 year. And that was that's how I got my comeuppance. And once I realized that there was a science to selling, not just a gift of gab, that changed everything for me. Like I could actually be in a room and convince somebody through a science that my way was the best way. And real simple things like, does this come in green? And I would say, well, do you want them in green? And it's an old strategy. It's an old thing. We did the Benjamin Franklin close. We did the sharp angle close. But it taught me that I could, that I was able to persuade people. And then I went from negative persuasion to positive persuasion over the next 25 years.
That's interesting. And I think that Jeff had a different motivation, which is interesting because I think everyone may have a little bit of a different motivation getting into selling or why they get into selling. So I don't want to give away what Jeff's is.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So hold on. For those of you who are on Periscope right now, the guy who you just heard was Doug Branson. He's our awesome producer.
Yeah. And a Hornets fan. Obviously.
Yeah. Major Hornets fan. Yeah. He has his own podcast show.
Yep. Called Hive Talk Live.
Yep.
Where do you find that Hive Talk Live?
HiveTalkLive.com. We talk NBA as well. So if you're into the
cool.
NBA.
Right. It's NBA not just like, Hornets.
Wait.
Right.
NBA like Harvard NBA? Or the
no. NBA.
NBA.
Like LeBron James.
Well, that's
the great LeBron James. My idol LeBron James.
Anytime I put LeBron James as a keyword for my podcast, my listeners probably double.
Wow.
How about Steph Curry?
I haven't tried that yet. I haven't tried that coupon code yet.
I don't want to date this, but he scored 10 points last night in the last 2 minutes of the ball game. Just absolutely unbelievable. He pisses ice water.
All right.
I mean, he has the guts to take it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. So we have an awesome show with Jeff Bajorek with a B. So let's listen in.
Yeah. And if you're watching on Periscope right now, make sure to follow at Sell or Die Show and go subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher. Just search Sell or Die so you can listen to that interview and the rest of this show.
Okay. And make sure that you stay tuned all the way to the end because we're going to talk about the new Napoleon Hill podcast.
Blab. Podcast blab. It's a blab.
Podcast blab Periscope video.
Actually, one of my mentors, one of his favorite closing lines, at least with me, you know, and with a lot of customers, was "It's just math." And so I've got a little influence from the math. I always really enjoyed math when I was in high school until I realized I didn't need to take any more of it, so I quit. And I understand the problem-solving aspect of it, and the analytical aspect of it. So it's always resonated with me. And there are a lot of other cool references. Really throughout my life that I've made with math and with parabolas and different things along those lines. So it just kind of hit me when I was thinking about the name of my company. It kind of put all those things together and it just kind of hit me. I actually wrote about it. It's on the website.
How many people actually know what a parabola is versus ask you what it means?
It's interesting. When I started telling people what the name of my company was, they said, that's a bad name. I can't spell it. I can't pronounce it. And the smart ass in me, which is I'll always contend is better than being a dumbass, if I could say that on a podcast. But if you can't spell it and you don't know what it means or what it is, or if you don't get the reference, then maybe we just can't work together.
Yeah. If you know what? If somebody tells you that it's stupid, that ought to be your first indicator to keep it.
Yeah.
And I had it on my website for a second. And it was you know, I kind of defined it and various early iterations of my webpage.
Mm-hmm.
But the definition number C was, or letter C was, a term that makes me sound smarter than you.
Put that back. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. I should tell you, one of my long-term goals was to give talks to high school kids. Because when you take algebra as a freshman in high school, everyone grumbles, I'll never use this. This is not in my daily life. And the teacher even tells you that most people will not use it. And that's probably the biggest erroneous statement that a teacher can make, because math teaches you to solve problems logically. And the average person will try to solve a problem emotionally. And math gives you that counterbalance so that you can look at things from both sides. And if the math teacher would have said to me, learn how to do this so you can learn the logical side of life, because eventually you're going to leave here and have problems. And you're going to think emotionally first, but I want you to think logically equally. And that's why I want to go to high schools and give that talk, so that I can teach teachers how to teach it, and I can teach kids how to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's great. And that's a lesson that I learned, unfortunately, not until college. I had a roommate who was going pre-law. And I said, well, you're going pre-law. Why do you have a math major? He said, well, I'm double majoring in math and in philosophy, so I can learn how to make arguments and then how to solve problems.
In other words, you're the Euclid of Detroit.
Yeah.
So, Jeff, on your website, you talked about the fact that a little over a decade ago, someone took you under their wing and taught you what it really meant to be a sales professional. Tell us about that.
So I was in clinical orthopedic and sports medicine, practicing in a physical therapy clinic, and I was out in high school working with athletes. That's where my degree is based. Basically, I have a Bachelor of Science in Sports Medicine. And working in the hospital, I decided I was fed up with the job I had, and so I quit. But I had responsibilities to the boys at my high school to continue with their training off-season and things. So I said, look, I quit in the spring. I said, I'm not going back for the fall season, but I'll be here through the summer. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a job lined up. I just had 4 months to find one, and I knew I was hireable. So one of the women that I worked with knew a sales guy who sold a very reputable line of products in the line of work that we were in. And she said, he wants a resume. You'll have an interview next week. So Rose, thanks, but I'm not a sales guy. I'm not that guy. And she said, well, I told him you could sell ice to an Eskimo, so good luck on your interview. And I said, well, thank you. We go through the process over the next couple of months, and he offers me a job. And he said, Jeff, you're a hard worker. You're a good person. You speak the language of orthopedics and sports medicine. I checked up on you with, you know, the people who will be your future customers, and they recommend you highly. You can do this. I said, well, I'm not a business guy. So you don't need to be a business guy. You just need to work your tail off. And I know you can do that. I can teach you the math. I can teach you the business side of it. So about 10 months later, I'm still floundering, because I didn't get as much direction. I didn't get as much training as I was told I would, because some things happened that were out of the control of my hiring manager at that time. And right around the same time as I found the Little Red Book of Selling, incidentally, an individual joined our organization. We brought on a new line of surgical implant products, and he came along with it and had about 18 years of experience. As it broke down, I was one of the few people in the organization who was willing to give Craig, the new guy, my time. Everybody else in the organization was too busy doing what they were doing. I was stuck and looking for someone to help me out. So I gave him as much time as he would give me. And as it turned out, I was one of the only people he was giving his time to, because no one else was showing him the same level of attention. So when I finally got some direction and finally got some mentorship, I learned all of the things that were really kind of counterintuitive to my original position or view on what a salesperson was. And so working with him and that kind of mentorship, immediately I was inspired that I wanted to do this for someone else one day. and they not just to give back, but just the opportunity to, you know, I win when I'm selling, when I see other people light up, whether it's someone on the other end of the table or someone in front of me or someone working with me or someone I'm working with who we're trying to sell together. I win when that light bulb goes off.
That's incredible. I come across a lot of people all the time who believe that they're not salespeople too. And at the beginning of that story, you said you didn't think you were a sales guy. Other people were telling you that you were, but why didn't you think you were a sales guy?
I think because I come from a place where people don't trust salesmen. What I joke about is that even my, you know, Jeffrey, you say that people don't like to be sold, but they love to buy. My mom doesn't even like to buy. I mean, I've asked her flat out, trying to get the, you know, she doesn't even like buying stuff. So
that's funny, by the way.
When maybe it's just our family, none of us were in sales. And it was something that we didn't identify ourselves with. And I always thought that that salesperson, that I call it an archetype, you know, when you do a Google image search for what people think of salespeople, you're going to see it. And I did not identify with that guy.
They think of used car salesmen. They think,
yeah, they think salesmen, they think pushy. Yeah. And by the way, it's not, you don't sell ice to Eskimos. You sell refrigerators to Eskimos.
Oh,
it's a harder sale.
That's true. I'm not in a position to correct Rose today, you know, where we were at compared to where we were at the time. But, I didn't identify with that. And so I thought that's what it meant to be in sales.
But somehow, you got inspired.
Well, I looked at the opportunity in front of me, and I had a lot of people that supported me. And they said, Jeff, you could take this opportunity. We will work with you, and you should give it a go. And I looked at the opportunity and said, you know what? I'll give it a year. If I hate it after a year, I'm really good at what I do right now. I'll just keep doing this. This was the plan all along. So I was willing to take the risk at some point. And I took the risk, and you put yourself in the right positions often enough, and you're going to find the right things happening to you. And you know, some people came along and some resources at the right time that were able to demonstrate to me what it really took to be successful in sales and that I could do that. And when I look at the way I define selling right now and providing value to every relationship that you're in, well, that's something I've been doing my entire life. So other people saw that before I did.
And was it a self-confidence thing? Was it a belief thing?
I really think it was just a paradigm shift. It was just a looking at sales and salespeople from a different point of view than I was. I never really lacked self-confidence when it came to the things that I did and the things that I continue to do. Confidence isn't really an issue. I know if it can be done, I can probably do it. I mean, I can't dunk a basketball. Let's get serious about that. But if I trained hard enough, I probably could. So if I see other people doing it, I know it can be done. And then I just look at that as, okay, what's it going to take to do that? And is it worth it to me to undertake that practice or that routine?
I saw people do it, and I thought I could do it better than they could do it. And I'm hoping that's what you saw. Like, this guy's a sales guy, but he's doing it ass backwards. Or he's doing it in a way that I would never do or could never do, because it's not authentic or it's not real or it's too manipulative. So I would always look at somebody, and whatever they were doing, I tried to modify it to make it easier and smoother to be able to create more of a genuine dialogue and an engagement with the other person.
Oh, it sounds like that, and Jeff, you can correct me if I'm wrong here,
okay,
but sounds or Jeffrey.
And the other Jeff.
You're Jeffrey, he's Jeff.
Got it.
But it sounds like, Jeff, just from listening to your story, that you didn't really necessarily at that time know what was better or how to do the sales game better. You didn't really know the sales game at all, and maybe you just wanted to do it differently.
Well, Doug, I mean, that's pretty much what I'm saying here is Jeffrey, to your point, I do that now. I look at salespeople. I love it when the guy comes to my front door pitching magazine subscriptions or whatever. It's some kid who's trying to get into, you know, help pay his way through college or whatever. I'll listen to those pitches probably more often than I should. And I like that. That's fun for me now. But if I put myself in the position 12, 13 years ago where I was, I don't know enough about selling, but my experience with salespeople isn't all that great. I just thought it was something I didn't want to do, rather than I know I can do it better. Because I didn't even know what it took to do it. I just hadn't had any experience with some really good salespeople up until then. So when I look at anything, though, if, and this is for as long as I can remember, not just today, I see someone doing something, and I'm pretty sure that if it can be done, I can probably do it. So from my confidence standpoint, then I just look into it and say, oh, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, I have a roommate who's he's a women's cancer specialist. He was my roommate all through college. He saves lives every single day. And I watched him study his tail off every single day. And I said, I don't want that. I want to get more out of my college experience. I want to get more out of life. He's a really smart guy. I'm a pretty smart guy. I could apply myself that way, but I'm not interested in that. Okay, cool. I know I could do it. I don't want to. Now, when it comes to, you know, when it came to selling, it was just an opportunity to do something I didn't know I could do. And then once I further applied myself and got the direction that I needed, now it was game on.
I think there are so many people out there who aren't just into selling, but they're into their trade. They own a business where they create donuts or pastries, and they own a business where they, I don't know, they have a craft, and they don't believe they're salespeople, just like Jeff didn't think he was a salespeople. And it's our job to help them help others. I mean, at the end of the day, Jeff, the reason you're such a good salesperson is because you like to serve and you like to help people. And you're right? And you're selling that help.
Absolutely. And I'm selling the help from the place of, I want to give to other people what someone gave to me, and that was life-changing. And it made me look at things completely differently, not just in business, but outside of business. And it's amazing what happens when you just take that first step, when you open that first door, how many other doors are behind it, how many other opportunities open for you. It's just being kind to people, being good to people, you know, and that's really all selling is. And when you approach it from their point of view and what they get out of the interaction and the relationship, and when you think of other people first, it feels good to serve. It feels good to help other people. And, you know, we have three rules in our home: is take responsibility, do interesting things, and be generous. And those things kind of overarch over everything else that you do. And if you're living by those three rules, you're doing pretty well.
So, Jeff, once you had that paradigm shift that selling is really about giving or helping, how did you translate that into making money?
When did I translate that into making money? Immediately. Wow. Just that way of looking at it and understanding that you're not going to get anybody's attention unless they understand what's in it for them. So it wasn't a mindset that I needed to, oh, now I have to figure out how to make money with this. When you start taking an approach that puts the customer first, you're going to have more people who just want to buy from you. It's other than saying it's the law of attraction or whatever. I don't even think it's that. I think it's when you have a conversation and the person you're talking to understands what they're going to get out of what you bring to the table, it makes all the difference.
Let's call it the law of perceived value.
I like it. That works. I mean, if I just go around and I'm spewing features and benefits and brochures and things like that, and I teach people today, I said, look, don't you want to take the brochure with you to the meeting? Keep it in your back pocket or your bag until the end. I said, if you can't sell better than the piece of paper in your pocket, you got to go back to work. It's you can't just lead with the company line. One of the best sales I ever made was when a marketing person came up to ride with me. He was brand new with the company. Oh, we've got this feature, and it leads to this benefit. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't buy from us.
That's because he's not in sales; he's in marketing.
And I said, why don't you come up to Detroit with me and ride with me for a couple of days. So I took him on a marathon day. We had a great time, got to know each other really well. He's a great guy, and I had a lot of fun with the last company I was with, watching him grow in his profession too, because he's really, really good. but he came from a position where I don't understand why anybody wouldn't buy this. And then after half a day with me going through, meeting with some customers, meeting with some current customers, let alone some potential customers, we sat down over a cup of coffee and he says, "Jeff, I don't understand why anybody would ever buy anything from us." I said, "Now you're on the right track. And now you're thinking from a place of, you know, if they're not buying, when they say no, why didn't they say yes?"
Mm-hmm.
And trying to put yourself in their position and understanding their constraints. And then it's when you know their constraints, when you know why they want to buy or why they don't want to buy, you can either tailor your message to help those particular needs. Or I walked away from a lot of quote unquote potential customers because they weren't really potential customers. They weren't buying for any reason that I could solve their problem. Or they didn't have any reason to buy that was in my wheelhouse to be able to provide them with the product that I had. So I walked away. And sometimes it drove my managers nuts. But to your point, Doug, is it helped me qualify prospects when I thought about what I could provide and the needs I could solve. And also helped me eliminate a lot of prospects when I realized that they weren't going to buy what I had because that's not why they were buying the stuff that I sold.
I teach salespeople all the time, when you get a sales deck from marketing for your PowerPoint, give it back to marketing and say, go make 5 sales with this and report your findings. Let them go out and actually do the thing that they're trying to tell a sales guy to do.
And at my old job, we used to bring marketing with us, just like you did. And that moment of them being in the room with the customer, seeing you use their lame stuff,
yeah,
and their PowerPoints that they made or their brochures, whatever it may be, they get it. They finally get it.
I agree. And I don't know if I'm just lucky or if it's circumstance or it's the industry that I worked in, but there was always a very close relationship between sales and marketing in the companies that I
represented. You're lucky.
Yeah.
That's not usual.
And then, okay. And it would, you know, hey, come up and ride with me. All right. Let me get the calendar out. It might be a couple months, but yeah, we want to hear that.
So the lesson here is don't complain about marketing. Take them with you.
Exactly.
Oh, engage them. Mm-hmm. Get them involved. Absolutely.
Sometimes the lesson that you get at a moment in time doesn't resonate for years. Like you had this lesson, your mom taught you something or your dad taught you something, and then all of a sudden it becomes, you know, that when your dad said, "Jen, hard work makes luck," you're going, "Yeah, right, Dad. Okay, right." And then 5 years later, it starts to, "Well, I'm working hard." And then 10 years later, I go, "Oh my God, my dad was smart." The older you get, the smarter your parents become. I found that. But
I know.
But I think that you have to look at what you had learned when you were younger, and where are those lessons? What is that lesson? I went to summer camp every year, and my camp was part owned by the coach of Temple University, Harry Litwack. 5'6" Russian-esque guy who played in the NBA, and his shot was a set shot, you know,
sure.
One of those older time guys. And he came to our house in Woodbury to recruit me for the summer for camp, just like he would recruit a basketball player for the team.
And Which is sort of funny because I know what camp recruitment is like,
yeah,
and they basically just suss you out to make sure you're a good person, and then they say, "Okay, now you're allowed to pay us this much money."
Well, that was in your day. In my day, this was in 1955.
Uh-huh.
Think about that. They hadn't even come out with the 57 cars yet. Anyway, so Uncle Harry, which is what we called him, came to our home, and I went out on the basketball court with all my buddies, and I'm thinking, "Oh, man, here's Harry Litwack. He's going to show us all kinds of fun things to do, and da-da-da-da-da." And here's this, like, Russian-esque guy who is smoking a cigar that was so big that he couldn't hold it with 2 fingers. He had to hold it with his hand.
Oh, my God.
And he keeps the cigar in his mouth, and he gets underneath the basket, and he goes, "Give me that ball." So somebody bounces him the ball, and he turns around and shoots a layup. And he says to everybody gathered, "You see that shot? 99% of all basketball games are won with that shot. Don't miss it." And he walked off.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I got robbed here. Uncle Harry didn't show me the behind the back fancy dribble between my legs crap. And took me 30 years to realize that he was telling me to master fundamentals.
Yeah.
And that if you don't master the fundamental of the game, you can never play the fancy part of the game. And salespeople are always looking to, well, what's the fastest way to do it? Like, dude, there is no fast way. The fast way is master the fundamentals slowly, and then you can do anything you want. But until you do that, the sales guy wants to know how to close the sale. He doesn't even know how to ask a question. You know, what's it going to take to get your business? That he thinks that's the fast way.
Right. Think about how hard you got to work to earn a layup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But when you get there, boom, it's in.
Right.
And if you blow the layup, you look like a jackass. Yeah, you blew the layup. Like making a 30-footer for Steph Curry is nothing, but that sucker can shoot a layup, man.
You know, it's funny. I had a little league coach that said that quoted Ted Williams, and you'll appreciate this, Jeffrey. He said that in every at bat, you're going to get your pitch. Don't take it. Don't miss it. Don't foul it off. You're only going to get it once.
Jeff, thank you for joining us today. Where can people find you if they want more?
I have worked very hard over the last.
Is it parabola.com?
It is parabolasales.com. Parabola.com is already taken. I was looking for exponentialgrowth.com, but they wanted something like $7,000 for the domain. I said, I can do better than that. So it's parabolasales.com, or you can Google my name, Jeff Bajorek, B as in boy, A-J-O-R-E-K. I own pretty much the entire first page of Google results for my name. So you'll find my website up there. You'll find my YouTube channel there. You'll find my LinkedIn profile there, and every other outlet that's available to reach me.
Wow, that was a great interview with Jeff.
He's a real good guy, and he's a believer. You know, he crossed over from what am I doing to I'm in the right place. Am I doing the right thing? Yes, I'm doing the right thing. And then he dedicated himself enough to where he became a trainer from what he was taught. Actually, if you remember, he wasn't taught very well or very much and basically learned himself. He was a self-made student.
That's right. He knew what he needed or what he wished he had had and then used that knowledge to teach others, which is pretty incredible.
Cool dude.
Yeah.
So, I want to share something with you because before this whole podcast thing came about, he called me with an idea and talked to Jen about the idea and talked to me about
the
idea.
Okay, he called you?
No, he called you. Okay, but I got the idea. And he was wanting to do something about what I had learned when I was growing up in positive attitude and personal development. And he talked, why don't you just tell him what he said?
So he recognized the value of what happened when you were studying Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, every day for 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
And he realized that that would be a really cool thing to share with others at this point in time. And so Think and Grow Rich has been out there a lot lately. Do you developed a course?
Yep.
Yeah. So if you want to find the Napoleon Hill course that Jeffrey created, it's jeffreygittimer.com/Napoleon-Hill-special. And that will get you a special discount.
Dash ice cream cone, dash chocolate.
to the course. Yeah, minus the dash ice cream cone and chocolate. Yeah, are you hungry, Jeffrey?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Give me the URL again.
jeffreygittimer.com/Napoleon-Hill-special.
Cool.
All right, so what's this big idea?
Yeah, so this big idea. So Jeff calls and he's like, okay, so Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich is such a great book. Jeffrey is the ultimate master at this book. And it would be great to have a live blab once a week where we're talking about the book.
One of the chapters.
One of the chapters in the book. Everyone reads it. And then you join. Well, we're going to do it on Sundays. So you join us on Sundays for a blab. And we talk about the book and implementing it in the 21st century.
And Sunday is the day that you pray for a better attitude and more wealth. I mean, look at the confluence there.
Yeah, so it's like a blab book club.
Yeah, a BBC.
BBC. I like
so it. So I guess if you're listening right now, first go and get the Blab app
and download it on your iPhone or some facsimile.
Yeah, you can't use it on Safari, but you can use it on Google Chrome.
Also, it's a web browser thing too.
Right.
So just search Blab.
Exactly, blab.im.
And or you can go on your phone and you can download it. It links directly with Twitter. So then you can follow both of us on Twitter. I'm Jen in a New York minute. It sounds like it looks like Jen in any minute when
you
type it out.
Approaching 20,000 followers.
Yeah, help me.
Please all just jump on there and follow her. Jen in any minute. It's Jen Gluckow, Gluckow. If you look her up on Twitter, it'll pop up and she has this kind of smiley face.
I'm going to get a birthday cake for my 20,000
If you're the 20,000th follower, you get a ice cream cone slash chocolate.
Dash chocolate.
Dash chocolate.
Dash chocolate. That's right.
Excellent callback.
So are we going to Baskin Robbins after this?
No.
Oh, okay.
But right. That idea sounds very sweet. So blab.im, get the Blab app, and then obviously follow you guys on Twitter.
Yeah,
because
Jeffrey, what's your Twitter name?
At Gittimer.
That's easy.
Because more information about this will be posted on both of those.
But think about this. You'll be able to join a conversation on Sunday that will actually inspire you.
Yeah, and you might want to get a copy of the Think and Grow Rich book or sign up for the online course because that comes with a PDF of the book.
The introduction will be first, where Napoleon Hill says, "Thoughts are things."
Does he say it just like that?
No.
Oh.
Thoughts are things. He had a very high voice. But anyway, the challenge for you is to go out, find your calling, take the risk that sales is the right thing for you, and then try to be the best at it. Study the most, work the hardest, get up early, stay up late, and do the things that are best for you as a salesperson. Help customers, make them feel good, provide value.
And be a lifelong learner.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what our Blab's about. I mean, it's free, by the way. There's no cost involved.
Unless you decide to click on the link and then there's going to be a $1 million offer at the other end. And for only $1 million, you can have this. And we only have to sell a couple.
There you go.
And we're in pretty good shape. Yeah.
That's called margin.
Right. But being lifelong learner is key.
Yeah, I am.
Me too.
Now, I've only been a lifelong learner for 45 years, so I don't know if it works yet.
So you started when in your...
I started when I was just a child.
Got it.
A child in my 20s.
And that will do it for this edition of Sell or Die. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. And we wouldn't mind a 5-star review either. Make a comment in the section. Let
us
know.
Can they give us a 6-star review?
It's not possible yet.
Oh.
I will call Tim Cook today.
Thank you, Doug. Doug is on it.
Problems.
Doug is on it.
I'll email him on my Surface.
Yeah, exactly.
For Jennifer and Jeffrey, we're saying
sell, even if your ass falls off.